today, before we get into the Word, I feel led to just say that our God is big enough to come to Him with heavy hearts, to come with happy hearts, to come with expectant hearts, to come with overburdened hearts. Whatever shape your heart is in this morning, I want you to know that He is big enough. And quite honestly, Scripture already tells us that before we even ask, He knows what we need. And to show you the confidence I have in that, I believe Scripture even teaches not only that He knows what we need, but that He's already at work in that situation. My heart's heavy this morning. It has been this week. And I know a brother just shared with me, too, that his heart is heavy for the people of Haiti. We've saw, if you've seen anything in the news, a bad earthquake, many dead, many hurt, many are missing. And so we definitely want to pray for that as well. And so if you guys will join me, let's just say a prayer for those folks. Can you imagine being in the midst of that turmoil and being lost? Maybe some of us, not necessarily in a natural tragedy or disaster like that, but we know what it feels like to be lost and wandering. And so let's just pray this morning before we get into the Word and ask God to speak. Father, we come with many different hearts this morning, some heavy, some happy, some overjoyed, some burdened. God, all of us hear news like Haiti, the surrounding areas and the earthquake and the damage and the death and destruction, those who are lost, those who are hurting, and it can't help but pull at our heartstring. And so we just pray. We pray for these families that have lost loved ones, the injuries. God, we pray for recovery. Those that are lost, we pray that they'll be found. I pray this not only in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense as well, God, that You reveal Yourself to these people. Father, help us to continue not just in a passing glance to say, I prayed, I've done my duty, but to continue to pray. God, for whatever condition our heart is in this morning, it's our prayer as we gather together, those of us that probably prepare food or think about coming out here to serve or any of these things. Father, I know, hear story after story, our prayer is that we, Father, gather together so that not just the people that are served, but that all of us, Father, our prayer is draw us closer to You today. Whatever condition our heart's in, we pray that God, again, You draw us closer to You. Through Jesus, You draw us closer to You and then closer to each other. Father, we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys. So many of you have come and the ones that heard, I was out last week, a very sudden and unexpected death in our family of a young man that loved very dearly, that has gone to see the Lord. And so it's with a heavy heart that I missed last week. And man, I really wanted to be here. I missed being here last Sunday. And so thank you so much for your prayers. I just want to share this morning just a little bit before we get into this psalm. And I want to tell you, if this is your first time, some of you it is. I've introduced myself to a couple. Some of you may be coming back first time in a while. And if this is your first time, I just want to welcome you. And I don't mean that in the cheesy kind of thing of like, let's stand up and welcome everybody. I've been to churches and that, man, I feel so uncomfortable in that. That's not a welcome like that. It's not a welcome. I'm so glad you're here. What can you do for our church or any kind of thing? I truly want you to know if we had a building, we don't, and that's okay. I think God designed us that way in this place. But I want you to know that if we had a building, the biggest welcome mat that we could find with the words welcome across it, I want you to know that's this place's heart. And not just to have in a cheesy decoration or something you could step over, but I want to tell you in the sense what I believe you're welcome here. Can I be honest with you this morning? I want to tell you why the church at Southside exists. It exists to bring glory to God. It exists to draw people unto God through His Holy Spirit and all those things that every single church should exist for. But here's what I want you to know in the specific sense of where you chose to gather today or where God has brought you today. Here's what I want you to know. Everybody has this promise. Everybody look this way. Hear me this morning. I want you to hear God's heart, not my heart. God's working through me in this. His heart. More importantly than my heart, His heart. Everybody here has a seat at the table, and every story is safe. I want you to hear me in that. Here's what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that if your story meets a certain criteria, or you've done enough good, or you've got things cleaned up, every story is safe. Here's what I want you to know with that. Here's what I mean in case you don't understand, and in case maybe the translation gets lost, or in case you're bringing your church language into that and it's kind of making that try to make sense. Here's what this means. If you are here this morning and you have murdered someone in your life, your story is safe here. If you are here this morning and you say, man, I woke up this morning with the needle still in my arm from last night, your story is safe here. If your sexual preference doesn't line up with where you think it needs to in God's eyes, your story is safe here. And here's what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have standards or God doesn't say things on these things. But I want you to know your story is safe here, and you can always share your heart. You can always share your struggle. You can always share what's on your heart and mind. And it's safe here. It's safe to be encountered with the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, because every one of us need it. It don't matter what the story's painted like. It don't matter how far you've colored outside the lines, your story is safe here. Everybody agree with that? Okay with that? Doesn't that sound like what Jesus would want this morning? To come to me just like you are. See, here's the thing about we sing in churches just as I am, but we cringe when people come just as they are. Anybody ever felt that? Now, I can't go to church just like I am because I won't be welcome. I won't be wanted. I'm going to tell you who's been on my mind this week. Jesse's heard some of this story, and I've shared it with others. But if I can be honest, one of the Sundays that everything started to click for me out here, I didn't plan to share this. This is God, so I'm just going to say it and just let him do the rest. But sitting on that curb over there, see where that black bag is? I want you to even see the visual. Waiting for me one Sunday morning was Randy. I don't even know. Some of you may know Randy. Some of you may not. Randy hadn't been around in a while. But Randy was broken. Randy was bloody. Randy was bruised. And Randy was drunk from the night before. When I want you to see, I want you to see that he was drunk, not just a little drunk. Randy was drunk. And when I say bleeding, I say broken, I say bruised, it wasn't that he had just had a bad week. He was literally bleeding on the concrete. He was literally bruised. From his words, the bitch that had hit him the night before beat him with a stick. And as we bandaged Randy up, as we thought about that day, I want to tell you that's the day that some of God's love started to make sense to me. Because Randy had the guts to show up to church broken, bloody, and bruised and say, here I am. Pride is something where we hang on to it and we say, everything's okay. I'm going to smile so everybody sees. I'm going to act like everything's just okay because I can't be honest with what's really going in the inside. I feel led this morning based on the events of my family just to let you know you can tell me anything. I'm human, but I'm going to do my best to come to you in the heart of Jesus and say, I love you. Let's pray. Let's walk through it together. It doesn't mean there won't be steps. It doesn't mean there won't be things that maybe you and I both have to do. But, man, I'm going to be with you. So can I just say that the church at Southside exists so that you have a seat at the table and that every story is safe. And I pray real quick before we get into the Word. Let's pray. Father, I pray that that's more than words. Grow me in that. I need help. I need you. I pray that each and every person that hears this, that it's not just something that's passed over. So yeah, not again. I'm not going to put myself out there again. But God, folks would be honest today with where they're at in their heart. If it's someone they need to talk to, if it's something they need to get off their chest, can we just trust each other today? Give us grace today to be your church, not just a church, not just a body gathered together just for another pointless meeting, but the church, the body, the beautiful bride of Jesus Christ, that we could just be here and love on one another. And if it's physical wounds, if it's spiritual wounds, if it's spiritual attack, if it's emotional baggage, that we could just bind up wounds. That we can mend the broken hearts and we could set captives free through the Holy Spirit. That's what you've built us to do. And we miss that so much, so many times. Help us. We need you. We're broken people. We serve an amazing God. Father, like the song Prone to Wander, as we hear those lyrics, many of us probably strikes a chord with, we've wandered so far away. Help us bind our wandering hearts to Thee. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. David, once again, comes in Scripture asking for help. If you haven't noticed, King David, the man after God's own heart, is a really needy dude. He really is. Can I be honest this morning that I believe one of the chief reasons that David is called a man after God's own heart is this exact reason. He lays his needs out before God. Can you imagine? I mean, listen, let's don't get into politics. Our world is so screwed up with politics. And by the way, that don't matter if you got a donkey or an elephant, both of them. Good Lord, help us. Help us. I'm so glad I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I love my country. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for freedoms. But man, I'm glad my citizenship is above. But I just want to say, would it not be amazing, no matter what animal is beside the name, no matter if it's a R, a D, or an independent, or a libertarian, or whatever you feel is right, and they're all wrong, it's all screwed up. But would it not be amazing to see a person in leadership bow their knee and say before a holy God, I need you. Whew. Man. And that's what David did. David is the king. He is the one with all the power. He is the one with the palace, the prestige, the position, the pomp and circumstance, everything that comes with a man of power. But yet he is called a man after God's own heart because of verses like these. He cries out to God, I need you. I need you. I'm not too good to make it on my own. I'm not too strong. I'm not going to try to just be good enough. I'm not going to do all these things. I need you. I want to just tell you this morning that it's not just okay to need God. It is imperative. It is essential for someone to come to a place in their life and say, I need you, God. Everybody does. Every person, everybody that has ever been in life goes through situations of trouble and turmoil. Every person needs a rescuer. Is it any wonder that any great story that you ever watch on screen or you read in a book, every story, every single story has a hero and a villain? I wonder why that is. It's because they all borrow from the epic story we live. Every one of your stories has a villain and a hero. May not notice it, but it's there. Every single story. It's essential that we come to a place where we say, I cannot defeat this enemy on my own. I cannot pay the wages of sin, which is death, on my own. I need a Savior. Whether you think you do or not, whether you feel like I'm a loner, I got all this, it's all on me. Can I tell you this morning what the it's all on me is? That's fool's gold, man. Can't do it on your own. It cannot happen. It might work. Listen to me. It might work for a short season. Maybe. Most of us will mess it up even in that amount of time. But every single one of us need God. I want to break today's psalm down in a couple of parts because I believe this is what actually happened. I believe you see two parts of this psalm recorded at different times. In fact, verses 1 through 5 is David's plea from whatever distress he found himself in. We're not given the details this time. We just know that David is a needy dude. And so the first 5 verses are him just complaining to God, begging to God, crying out to God. I need you. I need your help. Deliver me one more time. Hey, God, it's me again, by the way. Some of us feel that. I don't want to bother him with this. There's so many things. I see Haiti going on. I see the politics you mentioned. I see all the trouble in the world. I don't want to bother him with the fact that I'm having a really crappy day. He wants to hear from us. He loves us. He created us for relationship. And so David, this man after God's own heart, one of the reasons is because he never minded to pour out his heart to a holy God. Just to be honest, just to be real, David understood, hey, he knows me anyway. I can fake everybody else. I can do that whole thing if I'm strong enough. I can do all that of hiding behind my position. I can do all the fact of, by the way, even in a lowly position, just hanging out by myself and never having to interact with people and never having to own my own problem. He wants us to come and be honest because guess what? He knows it already. You might can fake me. You might can fake your friend. But God already knows. And David understood that. So he's just like, you know what? I'm going to try to be honest with God. So David, the first five verses, this plea from whatever distress he was in. And then verses 6-9 is David's later deliverance. By the way, there was a season of waiting. There was a time of waiting in this. Because by the way, I hate to break this to you, but God often delivers later than our asking. Some of you say, man, you got to tell me. I know. I've been asking something for a long time. God often delivers at a later date than our first prayer. And I read the first five verses. Let's hear David's request as he comes to God in this needy way as we often see him. Psalm 28, verse 1-5, it says, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my plea for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands towards your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil who speak peace with their neighbors while evil has in their hearts." We ain't going to get into that. Anybody know anybody that speaks all this nice stuff, but then in their hearts? Woo. "Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward." Do you ever notice David prays for like some sure enough vengeance? I mean, David wants God to show up like Clint Eastwood, like with the music and the six shooter. He wants them gone. It says, "Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more." In other words, David's saying, my God, I need you. People are coming after me. There's this distress. There's this turmoil. Everything is crashing down around me. I need you. And by the way, would you just take care of them? Would you just blot them out? Maybe we could pray a little more spiritual than David. We'll get into that in a sec. But that's how he prays. But verse 1 is so powerful here, right? David unveils a beautiful truth here. Listen to what he says. Go back and look at this. He's saying, "To you, O Lord, I call." All right. He's saying this is the only place I have to go. This is the only person I can call out. And listen, he throws out some ifs here. He says, "But if you're deaf to me," can I ask a really silly question? What does it mean when somebody's deaf? It's not a trick question. Huh? 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 Right? You get it. It's cheesy, but you get it. It means they can't hear. And so David is saying, if I call to you, and you can't hear me. If I call, listen to the beauty that is in this. Put it in, make it personal. Fill your name. I want you to just, in just a second, I'm going to say I, and I want you to just say your name, okay? I, say your name. If I, Keith, if I call and you're deaf, if you don't hear me. Listen, everything's riding on this. God, if I, make it personal, if I call and you don't hear me. And then he continues on, listen to this, or you are silent. What are silent people doing? They're quiet. They're not speaking. So David, this man of power, this man that has everything, comes to this and he says, if you, God, are deaf, if you, God, are silent, then I'm no better than the people that are heading to the pit. In other words, everything depends on this, God. I need you. You see, some of you are waiting. Anybody ever seen The Matrix? There's this crazy character named Morpheus. The blue pill and the red pill. And some of you are hoping that some spiritual figure will just walk into your life and says, if you'll just take one of these, everything will be made clear. You'll start seeing life in code. Everything will be right. You'll be able to dodge bullets. Maybe that's a stretch. But we're waiting on that. We're waiting on the magic fix. And some of you, the magic fix, the magic step may just simply be humbling yourself. By the way, listen to me. It don't matter if you're king. It don't matter if you're living under a bridge. It's coming to a place of wherever you're at in humility and saying, I need you. And saying, God, if you don't hear me on this one, if you don't hear me, if you don't speak to me in this one, I'm no good. I might as David says, down into the pit. I might as well be down to the pit. I have become like those who go down to the pit. In other words, lost, out of relationship with you. God, if you don't hear me, if you don't speak to me, I'm done for. Man, what beautiful faith that David, a man of power and prestige, would bow the knee to this transparent, beautiful, humble place of simply four words. I need you, God. Maybe the key to unlocking some of the doors in your life is simply being humble enough to be like David and saying, I need you, God. You see, some of us need to be honest with God about our past sins, troubles, angers, resentment, addictions. Can I tell you something I feel led to say this morning? No event in your life. Listen to me. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the story is. No event in your life is something you can't recover from. Somebody needs to hear that today. There is nothing where you have gone too far where you're out of options. There is no sin that is unredeemable. And by the way, I just want to say it in this way. It sounds so holy. This is how we are so messed up as the church. It sounds so holy to say, I just don't know that God can ever forgive me for this. I've done this horrible thing and look at me. What makes your sin so special that the blood of Jesus can't cover it? You ain't that special. That would mean that you have done something that no other human being could do, because my scripture, God's scripture, my Bible says that every sin can be covered with the blood of Jesus. That means if you murdered somebody out at the railroad tracks last night, as crazy as this sounds, doesn't mean there won't be consequence, but it does mean that Jesus' blood can cover that. I don't get how it does it. I'm just telling you, I'll stake my life on it. That no sin is unredeemable. No action is unrecoverable. There is nothing you can't come back from. And right now, the enemy would love to say, yeah, but he doesn't know your story. It doesn't matter. In fact, I could write out a piece of paper and put a bunch of blanks on there and just tell you, write your story down. It's redeemable. It can be recovered from. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad it may seem, no matter how bad the enemy wants to say, not you. You can never recover, not you. It can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I feel like that needs amen. Anybody? Verse 2 is more of the same. David just continues on. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry for your help. When I lift up my hands to your holy sanctuary. Just imagine a Democrat or Republican president saying, hear the voice of my plea for mercy, O God, when I cry, when I literally can admit that I cry tears. My soul longs, my soul cries for you, God. I need your help. Whew. Man, what a world that would be. When I lift up my hands towards your holy, most holy sanctuary. And then verses 3 through 5 is honest in his praying, man. if you've ever felt like, Lord, I just really don't like this person, and you're praying against them, at least you're being honest. I'm going to give you credit for that. But maybe, just maybe, I mentioned this, maybe we could even pray slightly more spiritual than even a king, even one that is a man after God's own heart. Maybe we could go Sermon on the Mount like Jesus and pray for our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. FBI, if you're watching, I'm going to say the name Donald Trump. Some of us say that name and you say it with disgust and anger. Let me ask you this, though. Let me ask, have you ever prayed for him? Woo, Jesus Juke, step on my toes. I'd rather stand with a sign and protest. I get it. That's your right. Not to let the Republicans off, maybe when Mr. Obama was our president. Did you ever stop and you ever pray? Here's why I ask that. I want to be completely honest. I don't know that that's so much for the person you're praying against for them. Maybe it is. But can I tell you something I've experienced in my heart? It is hard to hate somebody that you are actively praying for. Maybe Jesus was giving us a key there. Man, there's hate. There's anger in your heart. Maybe you should pray. Doesn't excuse what people do. Doesn't excuse actions. I'm not saying that. But I am saying if there's hate, if there's anger that's building up, if there's something, man, when that person that's at the camp beside you, that person that's on the same floor of your apartment, you know who I'm talking about. God's already telling you, that person. Maybe instead of looking at them, instead of saying to your friend, man, I can't stand that dude. Maybe it needs to be, oh, Father, bless them. Bless them, because maybe in their blessing and maybe in their deliverance, maybe they become somebody you jive with pretty good. Right? Maybe it's what they find where they're looking for. What they're looking for is the answer to your prayer. So maybe even praying for our enemies. I mean, Jesus said it, so it's got to be pretty good, right? Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. By the way, Jesus was not talking to a crowd of, hey, you know, if they don't like your Instagram photo in the way that you want them to, if they don't agree with your Facebook post, maybe you ought to pray for them. He was talking to people that were literally facing life and death moments. If they persecute you, in other words, if they put you in a pit and hang you up on a stake and set it on fire and bring out the lions, pray for them. If they threaten to put you on a cross like I'm heading to, pray for them. Oh man, it was so much deeper than if we just didn't really like them. Would you pray for them if you're being persecuted by the fact that they're just so annoying in the cubicle next to you? I get it. It's frustrating, but it's not persecution. If they literally are threatening to take your life, is what Jesus is saying. If they bring you to the point of, I'm going to hang this person up and kill them for the world to see because they're following God in the way of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them. Food for thought. And so here's what I believe happens in this passage. I believe the first five verses are at this separate occasion. This occasion where David is in distress, he is in turmoil, he is in all kinds of trouble, and he prays a prayer like this. And I believe that he goes through this situation, God brings him through, and then we get, as anybody remembers Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Verse 6, here's what he says. He's telling all of this. Remember, he is listening. He is all listing all of these prayers before God, these five verses. And now we see the tone change to he has been delivered. And he shows his thankfulness and worship ensues. Remember, I need you, God. If you don't hear me, I'm done for. If you don't speak, I'm done for. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. Remember, that's what he asked for. Would you just hear my plea for mercy? He says, he heard it. He heard my plea for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song, in other words, I'm breaking out in a song of praise. I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. You see the tone change? You see verses 1 through 5 is this tremendous asking of God. Then verses 6 through 8 is this praising God for what he has done. Listen to what he says. Really, this is what it all boils down to in this psalm. And I believe the same can be true for you. Here's where he starts. Don't be deaf and don't be silent till you have heard the voice of my plea. So here's what I believe we can take away. God knows what we need before we ever ask. But can I just be honest? I believe there is power in the asking. I can't tell you how long that season will be. Some of you may be praying a prayer that you've prayed for 3 years, 7 years, 18 years. I don't know. You know what it is. Right now, you know. You say, I prayed it over and over and over. And you too, like David, could be honest before God and say, would you please stop being deaf to this prayer? Would you please stop being silent? Or will you just speak to me? Maybe, just maybe, in the waiting, maybe in this season of asking, maybe your verses 6 through 8 are coming. Maybe you can pray this same prayer, blessed be the name of the Lord, for you have answered. By the way, sometimes there's even praise when we get the bigger picture of God answering us no. You hear me on that? Some of you know, old theologian Garth Brooks one time just said, I thank God for unanswered prayers. I think that was Garth. Right after he sang about his friends in low places. Unanswered prayers. I don't believe there's anything as such as unanswered prayers. May not be the answer that we want, but you get the point of what old Garth was trying to say, right? Boy, I'm glad it didn't work out like that. How many of you ever prayed for something? You prayed, I mean begging. Begging God. God, if you don't let me marry that girl, if you don't let me marry that guy, if you don't come through and give me a house, if you don't like let me get a car, if you don't like, you know what it is. But you look back and say, ah, I see a little more of the picture now. Thank you, God, for not making that my wife. Thank you, God, for not making him my husband. Thank you, God, for not giving me that house at that place at that time. You know, before we ever moved to Birmingham, we was moving to a totally different city and nothing would go right about it. And then we decided this crazy idea as Christians. We prayed. God, what's up? What are you doing? We don't understand. Help us. And God led me here. And I've never been happier. Serious. Would have had a nicer house, an easier life, all that stuff. And God led me here. And I've never been happier. There is power in the asking. Even if we don't get the answer we want, we still, like David, can say, blessed be the Lord, for he heard the voice of my plea. Here's what I want to challenge. No matter what you're praying, no matter what kind of heart this morning, if it's heavy, if it's joyful, if it's hurting, if it's broken into a million pieces, everybody look this way. He hears the voice of your pleas. He hears them. We can take confidence in that. He hears. He is not deaf. He may be being silent right now, but he is not deaf. There will come a day where he speaks an answer. Yes or no, he will speak an answer. And may we too be like a man after God's own heart and just say, I'm with you. I'm with you. And by the way, it's okay to even tell him, I don't like that answer. I've done that. I don't like that answer. It's okay. Be honest. God may be opening up something there. Would you pray with me this morning? I just want to ask this question this morning. I know sometimes we just rush and pray and move on, but I just want to ask a question I feel led to in this way. How's your heart this morning? Maybe I've already described it. Maybe it's not even a word that I use. Maybe it's not even describable at this point. Maybe it's so jumbled up and you don't even know. I've been in a situation this week like that. I've been sad, then I've been numb, then I've been brokenhearted, compassionate, angry, all in the same moment. And there's times like that where you just got to say, God, help me. I need you. Just like David, I need you. The reason I ask is because I'm going to pray and I'm just going to pause for just a second and I want you to start your own prayer. I want you to start with the word, Father. And I want you to say, my heart is, you fill in the blank. Don't let me put words in your mouth. This is my heart this morning. My heart is, because this is personal. It's a personal relationship with God through Jesus. My heart is what? Be honest. To him, not to anybody else. My heart is. And so, Father, we say these words. Maybe we don't even know the word. It just feels some way. And you know what that is. And so we come to you collectively as a whole and as individuals and say, our hearts are this. I know this may seem weird, but I feel led to say it in this way. Could we just even imagine in the Bible, our heart, our soul is the center. It's everything that is inside of us, everything that encompasses and makes us who we are. Could we picture maybe a little open heart surgery this morning and just taking whatever heart that is and laying it down on an altar and saying, it's yours. I can't do anything with this. I can't do it on my own. And like David, four words, I need you, God. These are our hearts. We offer them and just say, would you please, as King David, a man after your own heart, could we humbly bow our knees and just say, God, would you please not be deaf to my prayers? Will you please not be silent? Here is my heart. I think back to the words that were saying over us. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. Here is my heart, God, my broken heart, my happy heart, my overjoyed, my overburdened, my worried, my stressed heart, my angry heart, my resentful heart, my hateful heart, my heart. I lay it down. Take it. Make it new. I think that's another reason David is so classified as a man after God's own heart. So use words like that. Created me a new heart. I can't deal with this one anymore. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to lay everything down. God, take this. Give me a new one. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Thank you so much, God.